We'll quickly go over the verses you read this morning or heard this morning. And I have some of the commentaries of the Acharyas on some of this chapter. So we'll read that as well. There's just a few of the comments. But just to re-establish the frame of reference, does anyone remember where this canto begins? What happens? Yes.
So in 431:26, we are told that we are finished hearing about eternal path, and now we're going to hear about another son of Nanu, who is
the elder son.
The elder son of Nanu, who is Priyavrata. So Srila Goswami starts narrating this to Maharaj Parikshit, the mystery of Priyavrata.
Yes. And Priyavrata naturally, as the eldest son, was to become the ruler, but he declined to be the king because he was a renunciant. Now it's interesting that in Canto 4, there were many, many pastimes, starting with Dhruva Maharaj, then Prithu Maharaj, and then who was after Prithu Maharaj? Prachini Barishad and the Pachetas. And the Pachetas ended the line of, more or less, ended the line of Uttanapad. But all these personalities were kings. And as kings, they were engaging in their respective vanashrama duties. So that, practically speaking, is elevating, but there is certainly a tendency to get entangled in karma or the reactions to one's work. Why? Because whatever one does in this world, there's always the tendency to reflect it through one's false ego, which practically speaking means to think of oneself as the center, as the enjoyer, as the important one. This is the great danger, practically speaking, of being in the material world and acting in the material world, because everything we do entangles us even more deeply within actions and reactions, the law of karma. So what to speak of being a king? If we become proud, we give a class, we collect some money, we chant a few mantras properly, we do this, we do that, we fix a tape recorder, we do anything, we have some children, we do anything, and there's a tendency to become proud of one's ability. What to speak of someone who's a king? How difficult, practically impossible it is to be free from false ego if one engages in activity like this. Teachers, gurus, anything in this world, whatever one does, it tends to make one proud. So the reaction against this type of karmic activity, or karma, the path of karma, is jnana. So the kings that we heard about in the fourth canto very much were engaged in karma, even though they were great devotees. And one who understands the trap of acting even in a prescribed way according to Shastra within this world, and who renounces that world, not wishing to engage in any activity at all that might entangle him further, this is described as the path of jnana. So Priyavrata did not wish to become king. It was his duty. He was the eldest son. He would not take up his duty. He did not want to, and that desire was respected by his father and his younger brother, who became king, Uttanapad, and he renounced everything, became, practically speaking, a sannyasi. And then, amazingly enough, as we heard, Manu, after the dynasty of the Pratetas ended, and because he was so powerful, he was carrying within him the blood, the genomes, the DNA of Dhruva Maharaj and Uttanapad. So he was fit to be king. He had the characteristics, and therefore he was given, he was approached by Manu to give up, to renounce renunciation, to become the king. That means becoming married. That means becoming entangled in ruling, friends and enemies, wealth, women, state, politics, diplomacy. So entangling. Enemies, having to kill so many, anyone who opposes you, you must kill them. Spying, such an entangling concept. And he, basically speaking, desired deeply to refuse. He wanted to not get entangled. And then what happened? Lord Brahma came. In the third text, why didn't he want to rule, become king? We in Krishna consciousness, aspiring to be devotees, we would naturally think how nice if it was if there was a devotee king. But why didn't he wish to become king? He was afraid. Just see how detached he was and how actually intelligent he was. He feared becoming entangled in the world of matter. He feared this more than he feared anything else. He performed austerities. He didn't fear that. He was completely renounced. He didn't fear that. But he didn't want to become implicated and entangled in any material activity, because that would force him into the cycle of birth and death and birth and death, pain continuously, anticipating happiness, experiencing pain. That is the material world. The promise of happiness, the experience of pain and disappointment and frustration. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stated that when one understands that one cannot be happy within this world, he has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. So the question comes, it doesn't seem like we're going to read those opening verses, but we'll read the question of Purikkad in the third text, where he was amazed that Priyavrata, after renouncing the world, could take again to household life and kingship life. Now for us living in this age and having the experiences that we have had, it doesn't sound so astounding at all that someone could become renounced and then go back to enjoying, because we've seen it happen so many times. But yet, these people were very, very deep. They were fixed. They were not whimsical. They were not sentimental. If they said something, in fact, what does Priyavrata mean? Literally. Dear. Of renunciation? We'll find out what his actual dearest vow was. But he had taken the dearest vow. So, Purikkad Maharaj's question in the third text is, elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satiated by the shade of those lotus feet. What does satiated mean? Full. Yes, full, satisfied. They are so satisfied taking shelter of Krishna, what is the question of them seeking something lesser, something less? Material pleasure. It is only material pleasures are for those who are unsatisfied. Their consciousness, someone who has taken shelter of Krishna, cannot possibly become attached to family members. Priyavrata was known to be attached to family members. How is this possible for him who was such an exalted renunciant? And to this, Srila Srila Swami comments, with the desire for family members, etc., one develops attachment for home. Great souls have no such attachment. The shade of Uttama Sloka's feet, of Krishna's feet, remove the heat, suffering that comes due to lust. Because of that shade, the devotee's mind becomes satiated and free from desires. What did Srila Swami comment? It's so important. And this comment, as does the instructions of Brahma that we shall hear, explain why one can go from a life of devotion, a life of renunciation, into materialistic life. Indirectly, it explains how it can happen. I'll read it one more time. Please listen, because right after I read it, I'm going to ask you what I said. With the desire for family members, etc., one develops attachment for home. Great souls have no such attachment. The shade of Uttama Sloka's feet remove the heat, the suffering due to lust, etc. Because of that shade, the devotee's mind becomes satiated, full, and free from desire. Who remembers something from this, from the comment of Sri? Raise your hand if you remember something. One point. Very good. So many devotees. Prabhu, Bolia.
Like one forgets all the desire for his family, relatives, and all, if he takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord.
Because? Yes, thank you. Yes. But why is shade, why is the term shade used? It is cooling, and the material world is heating. Passion heats, overheats. Our mind becomes full of desires. And the more desires we have, the less we become satisfied. We have a desire. Everyone in this world has desires. When we attempt to fulfill those desires, rather than becoming satisfied, we become filled with more and more and more and more. And more desires. But if one actually can attain the cooling shelter of Krishna's feet, then he feels satisfied. Now, what is the answer to the question is why so many souls take shelter of Krishna and then go back again to taste the material world? Yes, according to this point,
They didn't taste.
Somehow or another, either they didn't get taste or they didn't hold on tightly enough. So this is a great challenge for devotees. To hold on tightly. Hold on tightly, like our life depends upon it. And one needs to be afraid of the material world. And there's another reason. There is another reason that's connected to this reason. We mentioned it before. If one gets a little success in Krishna consciousness, what can happen so easily? Pride, and then what false pride means false ego. And as soon as there's false ego, there's no real ego. There's no feeling oneself a servant of Krishna. And if one is not feeling oneself a servant of Krishna, one cannot be in the shade of Krishna's lotus feet. Being in the shade of Krishna's lotus feet means Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Petitam Mam Kripaya Tavapara Pankaja Stita Duli Sadrijam Vachintaya. One speck of dust, one servant is begging to just remain a servant and to perform a little service and keep in the shelter, the shade, the shelter of your lotus feet. If we move from that, we're immediately in a dangerous position. So how could someone who has tasted this move from it? That's the question. And Sridhar Swami gives a very powerful answer. Then, I'll read another comment. Short and powerful. Now there was that verse. Did Narayana Mataji speak extensively about the fifth text? The fifth one was, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet. So on one hand, Sridhar Swami called the Lord's lotus feet shade, the cooling shade. But here, Sukadev is calling them something different, because shade means there is the heat, the painful heat of material life. So it is relief from the painful heat of material life. But here, Sukadev is saying, nectarian honey. Yes. Nectarian honey. So not only is it a relief from something painful, but nectarian honey means that those feet are extremely sweet, a taste different from any taste of the material world. Sridhar Swami comments, because of obstacles, devotees may fall into worldly life. But by the power of their former practice, they take to renunciation again. Those devotees whose mind is absorbed in the rasa, the juice, which is the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet, may be checked by some obstacle, but they do not leave the auspicious path. They have tried to hold on to Krishna, and Krishna has accepted them, held on to them, and they may leave go, but Krishna will never leave go of them. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet, oh, that's the text, those devotees whose mind is absorbed in the rasa, which is the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet, may be checked by some obstacle, but they do not leave the auspicious path. Krishna does not kick them away. And which is that path? What is the actual path? The narrations of Sri Vasudev, who is dear to the Paramhamsas, the great devotees. So what is the path, the auspicious path? Hearing about Krishna. Hearing. Shravanadi jal. Srila Jiva Goswami, very short comment. As before, the great devotees are described as Paramhamsas. That path is very auspicious because even when there are obstacles, it produces love for the Lord. Just see, the obstacles produce love for the Lord. And that is going to be one of the answers to a question that, if I ever get around to reading the verses we're supposed to read today, will be one of the answers. Did Priyavrata actually become entangled? Was it actually an obstacle that he followed Brahma's order? Answer: even when there are obstacles, it produces love for the Lord. The path of devotion is all auspicious. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a longish comment. It is true that it is impossible for a self-satisfied person to find his enjoyment at home in his material life. And to a person attached to home, to be attached to Krishna, it is impossible. Still, you should never believe that those great souls whose actions are difficult to fathom ever have any attachment whatsoever to the sense objects. Don't think that he is actually entangled. That is who he mentions the word Bhagavata. That is why he mentions the word Bhagavata, or great devotee. The people whose mind are absorbed in the narrations, which are very dear to the Paramhamsas and related to the Lord, may temporarily disregard them due to an obstacle. But even though they are concealed or interrupted, they generally do not abandon them. What kind of narrations are they? They are their own auspicious path. These narrations, hearing Krishna Katha, are the path that awards happiness to the devotees, as it enables them to achieve the Lord. Last year, during one Mataji approached me during the course. She wasn't in the Bhagavatam course, but she was in the Bhakti Shastri course, and she said to me, "I'm hearing, but I want to do some devotional service." So, why am I laughing a little bit? That is devotional service, hearing about Krishna. And then we hear about Krishna, and then we speak about Krishna. And that is devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, "It is true that your devotees never face obstacles resulting from time or their karma. O Madhava," Adi, put it up a bit, please. "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes that from the second chapter of the 10th canto, verse 33. Still, the devotees face obstacles of two kinds, and this is important to hear. And Prabhupada mentions this in his purport as well. One is caused by offending great souls. So this is the great danger of living in the association of devotees, is that familiarity breeds contempt, and we tend to see faults. And we offend the devotees, and we lose our taste. And the other is by the will of the Lord. The offense to a great person, even though its results last for a long time and are difficult to endure, is immediately vanquished through the mercy of that great person. The examples are Vidvid and Rahugana. The impediment by the will of the Lord is created by the Lord in order to teach his devotees proper conduct. By that obstacle is meant to increase the love of the devotee, of that devotee. An example for that would be Bharat Maharaj. Because Priyavrata did not commit any offense, his obstacle was caused by the will of the Lord. The lesson is that by virtue of his intelligence, a devotee should never develop a sense of ownership. Again, this is the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. As the Lord teaches his devotee by the example of Bharata feeding the deer, so here he teaches that even though following the order of a superior is necessary for bhakti, still the is unnecessary for bhakti, still the devotee should follow it. That he teaches by having Priyavrata follow the order of Brahma. So bhakti is not dependent on anything, but still the general rule is that one should follow one's prescribed duty, and if it is Krishna's desire, one won't become entangled. I think I better move on. So Brahma came because when Manu requested Uttana Priyavrata to take up the service, he did not want to. He feared it. He feared becoming entangled. Very intelligent. He did not want to become entangled. He feared it. And then Lord Brahma came. And Brahma will speak some verses to Priyavrata, an answer of his question, might I become entangled if I do this particular service, if I do this particular duty, might I become entangled in material life? May this service actually turn into an obstacle to my advancement in Krishna consciousness? How many of you have ever had that experience? I definitely have. When you fear, you know, especially the devotees who end up in Vrindavan, they tend to want to chant and hear, and someone asks them to do some service or have to go back to the West, and they fear it. Or even some service in Vrindavan that may entangle one in something that it's a little complicated. So or anywhere this happens, managing, especially nowadays, is so difficult that no one wishes to do it. But how can the society go on if it's unmanaged? So sometimes devotees get asked to do services that are difficult, they don't want to do, and they wonder, is this going to be an obstacle for my spiritual life? Or is it going to actually help me advance? So, this question will be answered by Lord Brahma in 9 texts, from text 11 to text 19. So Lord Brahma, this is text 11, the Supreme Person within this universe said, my dear Priyavrata, kindly hear attentively what I say to you. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord. What an incredible thing to first say. Don't be jealous of him. Don't be envious of him. And don't be critical of him. You are being asked by your father, Manu, to serve in this way. But this order is not given by Manu or just by me, who is going to request you to do the same thing. This is actually coming from Krishna. This is a very difficult thing to accept, that nothing can happen to us without Krishna's sanction. Very difficult to accept this. Devati om mukti pade sadayavak. Very difficult. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord who is beyond our experimental measurements. All of us, including Lord Shiva, your father, and the great sage Maharshi Narada, must carry out the orders of the Supreme. We cannot deviate from his order. Prabhupada's purport. One of the 12 great authorities in devotional service, Lord Brahma himself His son Narada, Swayambhuva Manu, and Lord Shiva were present before Priyavrata. Swayambhuva Manu and Lord Shiva, they were accompanied by many other authoritative sages. Brahma first wanted to impress upon Priyavrata that although these great personalities are all great authorities, they cannot possibly disobey the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described in this verse as Deva, which means always glorious. So here is the first point, that no one or everyone is meant to follow the order of Krishna. So immediately Brahma is placing us in our correct position. Well, these are actually Prabhupada's words too, as servants of Krishna. And this point is really the point that Brahma's going to make. We'll continue a little further down the purport. When Lord Brahma went to induce Priyavrata to accept the responsibility for ruling the universe, he did not go whimsically. He was following the dictations of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, Brahma and other genuine authorities never do anything without his permission. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Tene Brahma Riddaya Arikavaye. The Lord dictated Vedic knowledge to Brahma through his heart. The more a living entity is purified by devotional service, the more he comes in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Lord Brahma therefore had not come to Priyavrata by his own whims. Rather, it is understood that he had been ordered to persuade Priyavrata by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities cannot be understood by material senses, and who is therefore described herein as aprameya. Thus, Lord Brahma first advised Priyavrata to hear his words with attention and without envy and without criticism, because we are all meant to follow Krishna's order, whose plan is inconceivable and ununderstandable by our material intelligence. No matter what we can do, no matter what we do, we cannot understand. Our vision of reality is very, very small. We consider what is good and what is bad in the frame of reference of 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. Well, Krishna's vision is eternity. From the point of eternity, Krishna and his devotees stick in that position, and that is their viewpoint. So therefore, how could we, with our very tiny viewpoint, who are practically speaking blind, understand Krishna's point of view, and therefore nimitta karan bhava savya sakshin? I want you, Krishna tells Arjuna, to become my instrument. And this is the pleasure of a devotee, to be used by Krishna, to be engaged in Krishna's service, to be a servant. So first, Brahma said, no one can disobey Krishna's order. Okay, someone says, wait a second. Here there are how many devotees in this world? And there are millions and millions of human beings who are disobeying Krishna's order every minute of every single day. How could Lord Brahma say that no one can disobey Krishna's order? Is that your experience, that no one can disobey Krishna's order? Why is it so difficult to preach in this world then? What's an answer to that? Oh, yes. Scratching, you have to be careful not to scratch your head at the wrong time.
Yeah. Do you have to polish simply are free.
Yeah.
Maya
is so they cannot disregard the order of the modes of material nature. Did you decide to scratch your head? No. This Maya says, scratch your head. Not you, really. But this is the way the material energy works. The mode of passion forces someone to do this. The mode of ignorance forces someone to do that. The mode of goodness forces someone. Everyone is being controlled at every moment. This is unavoidable for every soul. No one, everyone's freedom. At one time at 26 Second Avenue, some crazy young hippie lady said to Prabhupada, "I am free. I am free. I am independent. I can do as I like. I am free." And Prabhupada's reply is, "Are you free to stop growing old?" Well, who is free to stop growing old? Because if I was free to stop growing old, I would have stopped a long time ago. No one is free to stop growing old. No one is free. So Prabhupada also said, one who thinks they are free, it does not speak well for their sanity. In other words, their eyes are closed, forced at every moment, and then forced out of this world, forced out of the body. No one wants to die. Kicked out of this body. Who is free? So that's the answer to this question. Yes, no one can avoid. Yes, no one can avoid the order from the Lord. Krishna says your body will get old. Yes, your body will sneeze. And then we have to do it. The body has to get old. The teeth have to fall out. The hair has to fall out. The liver has to get weak. The soul has to leave, controlled. So one cannot avoid the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not by the strength of severe austerities and exalted Vedic education, or the power of mystic yoga, physical prowess, or intellectual activities. Whatever strengths one has, it is insufficient. Nor can one use his power of religion, his material opulences, or any other means, either by himself or with the help of others, to defy the order of the Supreme Lord. That is not possible for any living being, from Brahma down to the ant. This is what it means, that he is God, he is the Ishwara, he is the Parameshwara, he is the Supreme Controller, and we are controlled, every one of us, are tiny and insignificant. How do you like it, being tiny and insignificant? It depends what if we've chanted our rounds or not, whether we like it or not. Before we chant our rounds, or on bad days, we don't like it. This is false ego. Why don't we like being tiny and insignificant? It is very frightening. Very frightening. This world is very frightening, very dangerous place. So therefore, if one remains independent and tiny and insignificant, it is terrifying. But if one takes shelter of Krishna, it is cooling and sweet like honey. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport here. The word manishaya, by intelligence, this is the beginning of the second paragraph, is of special significance. Priyavrata might argue that Lord Brahma was requesting him to accept family life and the responsibility for ruling a kingdom, although Narada Muni had advised him not to enter household life and be entangled in material affairs. Whom to accept would be a puzzle for Priyavrata because both Lord Brahma and Narada Muni are authorities. Under the circumstances, the use of the word manishaya is very appropriate, for it indicates that since both Narada Muni and Lord Brahma are authorized to give instructions, Priyavrata should neglect neither of them, but should use his intelligence to follow the advice of both. So what did Narada Muni tell him? Don't get entangled in family life. Don't get entangled in this material world. And what did Brahma instruct him? You rule, become the king and rule. So which authority to follow? So Prabhupada's point here is that both are authorities and one has to follow both simultaneously. Now if you remember your Bhagavad Gita lessons, this is the essential message of the Bhagavad Gita. The primary message. Karma or jnana? What does Krishna want? He wants karma, action, on the level of jnana or detachment. So this is really the solution to the problem. But as in the Bhagavad Gita, there is one step further that's going to be required, and this will come in the final instruction, or the final several instructions of Narada. Just like the Bhagavad Gita. Just like the discussion between karma and jnana. And the exact same solution. To solve such dilemmas, Prabhupada continues, Srila Rupa Goswami has given a very clear conception of intelligence. He says, Anashaktasya vishayan yataham upayunjataha nirbanda krishna sambandha yuktavaragya uchate. Vishayan, material affairs, should be accepted without attachment. Karma on the jnana platform. And everything should be dovetailed with the service of the Lord. That is real intelligence, manishya. Becoming a family man or a king in the material world is not harmful if one accepts everything for Krishna's service. If one doesn't accept everything for Krishna's service, everything, every situation is harmful. If we step out of acting as a servant, we will undoubtedly get entangled in material life. That necessitates clear intelligence. So all should be used in Krishna's service. Doing that is intelligence. 13. We are dependent on Krishna. This is the point over here. And Brahma in these 12, 13, 14, and 15 is explaining how dependent we are on Krishna. And this is a first step in Krishna consciousness, is understanding gotripte varanam tata, understanding our complete dependence on Krishna. Soon, again, same point, as soon as we think ourselves independent, think ourselves as an independent personality, we are living in the realm of false ego. And that means we must get ourselves in trouble, no matter what we try to do. So we are dependent on Krishna. So this text explains that every living entity is dependent on Krishna. Text 13 explains the same point in a slightly different way. Even the fact that we have a body, for that we are dependent on Krishna. We identify with this as ourself, as me, this is me. But even in this full sense of me, I'm dependent on Krishna. Text 13 explains, my dear Priyavrata, Brahma says, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities accept different types of bodies for birth and death, activities, lamentation, illusion, fear of future dangers, and happiness and distress. Our bodies, our karma, everything is under the anumanta, under the permitter, the sanctioner, under Krishna's approval. Nothing, not a blade of grass can move unless he gives it sanction. And understanding this means understanding that everything we do is dependent on Krishna, in its success, in its failure. And therefore, a devotee's business is to act in such a way as to please him and depend on him. Go tripte varanam tata. This is bhakti. Dependence on Krishna. This is the main limb of bhakti, the angi. So while we do our service, that's what makes it devotional service, is, oh Krishna, please accept this by your kindness, by your mercy. I'm dependent on your mercy. I'm dependent on you for everything. Please, please accept this. And then bhakti paritam asnami paratatmana. Then Krishna accepts it because this is bhakti. So even for our body we are dependent on him. Next dependence, text 14. For our activities, even to act, text 14 says, my dear boy, all of us are bound to the Vedic injunctions, to the divisions of vanashram according to our qualities and work. These divisions are difficult to avoid because they are scientifically arranged. We must therefore carry out our duties of vanashrama dharma, like bulls obliged to move according to the direction of a driver pulling on ropes knotted to their noses. What did that verse say? Not exactly. The Vedic injunctions. We must carry out our duties of vanashrama dharma, like bulls obliged to move according to the directions of a driver, pulling on ropes knotted to their noses. Just how difficult it is for that bull. He's pulled, he has no choice. Pulled by the ropes. This is the Vedic injunctions. How serious they were about following Shastra. And why were they so serious? And what's the example of the bull mean? Prabhupada will explain towards the end of the purport. The example cited in this verse is that bulls tied by rope, this is just at the end, almost at the very end, in the middle of the last paragraph, I believe. The example cited in this verse is that bulls tied by ropes in their nostrils move according to the directions of the driver. Similarly, if we move according to the instructions of the Vedas, the perfect path for our lives will be set. Otherwise, if we do not move in that way, but act according to our whimsical ideas, our lives will be spoiled by confusion and will end in despair. Actually, because people at the present moment are not following the instructions of the Vedas, they are all confused. And this is the reality of the situation. We must therefore accept this instruction by Lord Brahma to Priyavrata as the factual scientific direction leading to the success of life. In other words, we are blind in this world. We are blind. We cannot see good from bad. And our intelligence is covered by the modes of material nature. And according to the modes that affect us, we see something as good We see something as bad. We see something icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. We see something as attractive, something as repulsive. A worm sees, he perceives sitting in a sewer with other worms as the most wonderful thing. All the food he can eat, everything supplied, he thinks it's the most wonderful thing. He doesn't want to leave when you pull him out. And a human being would think that's the most abominable thing. All this seeing of good and bad is according to the modes of nature. We are blind, and therefore the light is the Shastra to give us direction, which way we should go. We have to look to Shastra. This is the point of this verse. As the bull doesn't know, he just has to be pulled by the master. He goes this way, he goes that way. If we allow Shastra to direct us, then, as Prabhupada said, scientific direction leading to the success of life.
Perfect path of our life.
And if not, one becomes confused. Is this difficult for contemporary man to accept? Yes. And look at the result of not accepting it. Go to the cities of the world. Do you see happy people or do you see intensely suffering people? In Chennai, are they happy? I was just in Hong Kong. They're not happy there either. Yes.
So there's no water supply and electricity. So everything in cavity condition.
In one day there was 37 inches of rain. That means this much rain, approximately, in one day. And so many people were drowned and died. Rich people, poor people, swept away. You cannot say, pull out your credit card and say, I'm a rich person. No. Very dangerous, actually. My dear Priyavrata, according to our association with different modes of material nature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives us our specific bodies and the happiness and distress we achieve. So we are even dependent on Krishna for our happiness and distress. This is so opposite to the way that people think in this world. The way that people think is that by my power, by my intelligence, by my determination, by my desire, I will become wealthy, I will become happy. It depends on me. But here, our message, the message of Prabhupada, the message of Lord Brahma, the message of Sukadeva Goswami, is exactly the opposite. We cannot expect that this message is going to be welcomed by the materialist. You are completely dependent on Krishna, even for your happiness and for your distress. You cannot move your distress unless Krishna sanctions it. And therefore, you should put yourself as his servant and accept your fate. Tate anukampam susumikshamano bhunjaneva makripavabhagam. Accept your fate, and whatever situation you're in, you should serve him. And this is extremely difficult, again, to accept one's fate. Because we usually think that we deserve a much better situation than we are in. But the actual truth is what?
We deserve
a worse situation, actually. That's what one devotee taught me that in Perth a couple of years ago. I said, how are you? He said, better than I deserve. And I think it is an actual proper answer. Better than I deserve. Although it's very hard to accept this when you're suffering. Better than I deserve. Because after, over countless lives, what have I done? Or put it in another way, what haven't I done? What sinful activity, what cruel activity, what exploitive activity have I not done? And I have this huge, huge bag of karma that I'm carrying around. And Krishna could at any time give me a small, small portion of it, which will crush me into the most terrible suffering. And who could say they've never done anything to deserve it? No one can say this. So better than we deserve. We are dependent on Krishna. But it is very difficult to accept and digest one's fate. One's poverty, one's bad bodily problems, one's miseries, one's this, one's that. Very difficult to accept and thank Krishna and say, better than I deserve. But we are dependent, that's his point. Even for our happiness, even for our activities, even for our body, in every way we are dependent on Krishna. Can we accept this? Because this is what Priyavrata, this pastime, is teaching us. And if we want to progress onward in the Bhagavatam, we have to assimilate all the different teachings. Because they are presented systematically. Here we're learning that karma, we know and we've learned, doesn't satisfy. But jnana or renunciation isn't the highest principle either. We are dependent on Krishna. We are meant to serve Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada explains in the second paragraph of the purport, in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, Lord Krishna says, Sarvadamam Pityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Give up all other engagements, simply surrender unto me and follow me. This process of surrendering by following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not meant for any particular caste or creed. A Brahmana can surrender, so can a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. Everyone can adopt this process. As stated in this verse, Chakshushmatanda Iva Niyamanaha, one should follow the Lord the way a blind man follows a person who has eyes. Just imagine, just let this example sink in. Like a blind man follows a person who has eyes. We have no ability to see. We should follow Krishna like a blind man follows a person with eyes. If we follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following the directions he gives in the Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita, our lives will be successful. The Lord therefore says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru nam evyasyati satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me. So here is what Krishna wants us to do. As we serve him, we should always think of him. We should become his devotee. We should be devoted to him. We should love him. Manmana, put our mind upon him. Bhava madbhakto, become a devotee. And offer respects and obeisances unto me, Krishna says. Then you will certainly come back home, back to Godhead. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Krishna promises that if we become devoted to him, he will take us It is not within our capacity to go back to Godhead. There is nothing we can do in one sense. This is Krishna's business. Our business is to serve Him in this way, and then He will fulfill His promise. This instruction is meant for everyone, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or if anyone from any division of life surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and follows His instructions, his life will be successful. Very important. The previous verse has given the analogy of bulls moving under the direction of the driver of a bullock cart. The bulls, being completely surrendered to the driver, remain wherever he wants to place them and eat whatever he wants them to eat. This is surrender. He accepting the position he places us in, accepting the food, whatever food he gives us. We should not, this is similarly being completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should not aspire for happiness. This is heavy. So much of the time, I think, at least about myself, my Krishna conscious desires are desires for liberation, because I'm so tired of suffering. But Krishna consciousness is not this. Neither desiring happiness, nor liberation, nor distress, but desiring to please Krishna. This is devotion. This is love. We must be satisfied with the position allotted to us by the Lord. When Prabhupada says we must be satisfied, what does he mean? Huh? No other way?
No choice.
Is that what he means, that we have no choice? Are you always satisfied? How about the people when there was the tsunami? There were so many people saying they weren't satisfied with God. But what does it mean that Prabhupada says we must be satisfied? And what does he mean?
We should accept it, whatever comes.
Well, what does the word must mean? Mataji?
They just have no choice.
Huh?
we have no choice.
That's, if you understand who you are, there's always an if when Prabhupada gives these statements. There's an if there. If you want to go back to Godhead, if you want to be a devotee, if you understand that you're actually a beggar and dependent on Krishna, if you are sincere, then you must accept. It is because distress, misery, it comes from not accepting. It doesn't come from the event. It comes from, caused by the mind. We should follow the path of devotional service and not be dissatisfied with the happiness and distress He, Krishna, has given. People in the material modes of passion and ignorance generally cannot understand the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with its 8,400,000 species of life. But the human form affords one the special privilege to understand this plan, engage in devotional service, and elevate oneself to the highest position of perfection by following the Lord's instructions. The entire world is working under the influence of the modes of material nature, especially ignorance and passion. But if people engage in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord, their lives can be successful and they can be elevated to the highest perfection. How can people become elevated to the highest perfection? Yes, hearing and chanting about? Yes, His glories, by speaking about Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, having the mind full of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Is that difficult? What do you think? What do you think? But on the other hand, it's very easy. But on the other hand, it's so difficult because the mind is Krishna Bahimukh. We are turned our back, we don't want it. But yet this process, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, there is a cleansing of the heart, there is a cleansing of the mind. And then Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam. And then Shreya Karaiva Chandrika Vataranam. Listen to this again. Same sentence. If people engage in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord, their lives can be successful and they can be elevated to the highest perfection. What is the highest perfection? Huh? Yes? Okay, what's the highest perfection? Realize our constitutional position. What's our constitutional position? Servant, servant of the Lord. Okay, what does it mean?
Go to Krishna.
And then when you go there, you get there. And when you get there, what do you do? And how do you serve him?
With love.
It's in one of the different rasas. Yes? This is the highest perfection. And by hearing about Krishna, you attain the highest perfection. A very deep, intimate, serving relationship with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The highest perfection. There is no higher perfection. The servant of the servant of Gopi Bharta Parakamalaya Dasa Dasana Das. By hearing. And in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, therefore it is said, Harirnama, Harirnama, Harirnama Vikevalam, Kalavana Stevana Stevana Stevagatyaniyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way for spiritual perfection other than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Everyone should be given the chance to hear the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus one will gradually come to understand his real position in life. His real position, that I am Krishna's servant. I'm trying so hard to be a master in this world, to enjoy, and I'm simply suffering. It is an artificial position. It is not my real position. So understand his real position and be elevated to the transcendental position above the mode of goodness. Thus all impediments to his progress will be cut to pieces. In conclusion, we must be satisfied in whatever position we have been put in by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should try to engage ourselves in his devotional service. Then our life will be successful. So we are dependent on Krishna completely. Accept it and try to serve him as best you are able. Whoever you are, whatever you have, suke duke bolo nako vadane harinam bolole. Whatever situation you're in, just see what service you can do. Be thinking, what service can I do? Look at Bhakti Tirtha Raj, look at his example. He was dying and he was serving all the devotees by showing them what it's like, what to look, what they have to, each and every one of us are going to have to do one day. Right to the end practically, he was offering that service of revealing what it's like, serving mood. So one may think that these instructions of being dependent on Krishna and detached are only for those who are agyan, without knowledge. And Priyavrata had knowledge and therefore didn't want to engage in material activities. And therefore, Lord Brahma says the next verse, even if one is liberated, he nevertheless accepts the body he has received according to his past karma. It's unavoidable. Without misconceptions, however, he regards his enjoyment and suffering due to that karma the way an awakened person regards a dream he had while sleeping. He thus remains steadfast and never works to achieve another material body under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he's living with six co-wives, mind and five senses. The mind and knowledge acquiring senses, even in household life, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied, learned man who has conquered his senses. Now listen to this last sentence in this purport, or last few sentences. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, because here in this verse, Lord Brahma is saying there is no safety in being a renunciant in the forest because you have your mind with you. And the mind is the enemy if it dwells on the objects of the senses. No matter where you are, it will give you so much trouble. And if you're, even in household life, if you're detached, he explains, you won't have any trouble. Of course, he's preaching to him to get him to move towards, to do this service too. But, so it's one's consciousness that's important, not the externals of the situation. Of course, externals can help, but ultimately it's the consciousness. Now listen to what Prabhupada says. If the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no need to fear their activities. This is right at the end of the purport. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement move within this material world, but because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, they are always aloof from the material world. They are always living in a transcendental position. Now what do you think when you read that? Or hear that? Huh? It's hard to believe. Prabhupada said it here. Why? But if you read it carefully, it's easy to believe, although it may not be, it may be very humbling. But yes, I mean, that was an honest answer. I didn't mean to tease you about it. It's very humbling, actually. Read carefully. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement move within this material world, but because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, they're always aloof, free from the material world. So this is the activities of the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement. So it clearly shows me something about myself. A lot to aspire for. There's a lot of room for improvement. Because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Uttama. This is what it means to be a devotee. No svarta. Svarta, what does that mean? No selfish motives. A servant fully to the core of the heart. Those are the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement. We should become devotees. Become servants of Krishna, or servants of Krishna, or servants of the servants. But we should not become independent enjoyers, because then we will get into so much trouble. And we should balance this with, we should know our capacity. If our capacity isn't that high, we shouldn't imitate the those whose capacity is above ours, nor should we envy them. But we should serve nevertheless. They're always living in a transcendental position, said Prabhupada. So this is what it means to be a devotee. And therefore Prabhupada has said that the safest position is to be always chanting Krishna's names 24 hours a day, taking shelter of Krishna and his names, taking shelter of Krishna, not taking shelter of the material energy. This is what we aspire for. 18. One who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. So he's explaining about proper household life. But then, in the next text, he tells what the real shelter is. Household life is not the shelter, but it can assist a person who requires that. But in the next verse, my dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening of the lotus of the feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders to your in your constitutional position. So his message is that this is Krishna's desire for you. There is a need for the world that you become the king and rule. And because it is Krishna's order, you should follow this order, you should act according to his order, but not in the consciousness of you being an enjoyer of being the king. But you should seek shelter inside the opening of his lotus feet. You should keep your mind fixed upon him. And you should do this as a servant, as a service, and as his servant. So this is the completion, in one sense, of the instructions. And this is just where the Bhagavad Gita ends. Neither karma nor jnana, but bhakti. More than action, more than detached action, but service to Krishna with devotion. Then you'll be able to carry out the Lord's order in your constitutional position. Prabhupada's purport. Lord Brahma here, and this is a little bit down. Lord Brahma herein advises Priyavrata to remain transcendental in the fortress, not of family life, but of the lotus feet of the Lord. When a bumblebee enters the opening of a lotus flower and drinks its honey, it is fully protected by the petals of the lotus. The bee is undisturbed by the sunshine and other external influences. Similarly, one who always seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead is protected from all dangers. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samasritaye parapalava plavam mahatpadam punyayasho marari pavambudhi vatsapadam param padam 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 yadipadam natesham. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, everything becomes easier. Indeed, even crossing the great ocean of nescience, Bhavam Buddhir, is exactly like crossing the hoof print created by a calf, Vatsapadam. In other words, very easily done, if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. For such a devotee, there is no question of remaining in a place where every step is dangerous, meaning the material world. Our actual duty, Prabhupada continues, is to carry out the supreme order of the personality of Godhead. If we are fixed in our determination to carry out the supreme order of the Lord, we are always secure, regardless of where we are situated, whether in heaven or hell. Hell or in heaven. Here in the word prakritim, vajasva are very significant. Prakritim refers to one's constitutional position. Every living entity has the constitutional position of being an eternal servant of God. Therefore, Lord Brahma advised Priyavrata, be situated in your original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. If you carry out his orders, you will never fall, even in the midst of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment achieved by dint of one's fruit of activities differs from material enjoyment given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee sometimes appears to be in a very opulent position, but he accepts that position to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee is never affected by material influence. Prabhupada is speaking about himself there. Krishna gave him so much opulence, but not accepted with false ego. Just accepted for the purpose of fulfilling the order of the Lord. And what was Prabhupada's mission? Spread Krishna consciousness to establish ISKCON. Make everyone happy. What else? All good answers.
Worship the Lord.
Huh?
Worship the Lord.
Who is the Lord? Who is his Lord? Who is Prabhupada's Lord? The devotees, again Prabhupada says this, listen again. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada once told me in the Philippines, it is my desire that every person in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. There is room for every one of us to take up this service, to serve Prabhupada in this way. You don't have to be a big preacher or anything. There's always someone who you can help become Krishna conscious. So the devotees are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have to meet many karmis. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. He has blessed them, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kabu na vidabe tomara visya taranga punarapi etane pabe mora sangha. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his cult all over the world will never be affected by Vishaya Taranga, material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will thus have perpetual association with him. That's quite a promise, isn't it? And it's a question, what word, did any word strike you in that? I'll read it again. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his cult all over the world I'll stop there because it's in that part. Sincere. This is the whole issue of being, is being sincere. How do you say sincere in Hindi? Do you know?
Pramanik.
Bangla? Dadu? You have forgotten everything except Krishna's holy names. Nishkapati. That's en français. Gambira. Gambira. Deep or
serious.
Yeah, Prabhupada would say that sometimes. He would say that too, that use that word. He'd say, you are not serious. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means just sincerely trying your best. By preaching his cult all over the world, will never be affected by Vishya Taranga, material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will thus have perpetual association with him. The trick is to stay sincere. And how to stay sincere, or how to become sincere?
Should we understand the meaning where the word came from? It's a lot of tools. Comes from the time of Michelangelo, and there's a lot of demand for marble.
Yes.
And the vices, they became a little greedy and they started getting second-class marble for the sculptors. So they get halfway through the piece and the thing would fall apart. So then what they used to do, the sculptors, they would write on their order sincera, means without wax. Because what the people would do is they would fill the cracks in the marble with wax. So sincere means no cracks, no wax.
No wax. The real thing only. How to become sincere with no cracks and no wax.
Then you can be molded as Krishna wants without breaking.
And how to become sincere? I heard Prabhupada answer that question too. Yeah.
No cracks and no wax.
By being sincere, but being without the
association. Huh? Well, Prabhupada said to associate with those who are sincere, more sincere. That's what he said. It's catching. And here, if we think no one is sincere, we have Prabhupada, because he practiced what he preached fully. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus being fully instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the spiritual master of the three worlds, Priyavrata's own position being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Lord Brahma with no tinges of resentment. Brahma told Priyavrata something that Priyavrata didn't want to hear. Narada Muni had lost his disciple, his renunciate disciple, because Narada Muni tends to make renunciates out of people. And yet, everyone surrendered to Brahma and they looked at him with no resentment. They were simple of heart too. Having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. Oh, I did the wrong thing again too. Because I was so happy I had some of the commentaries on these verses and there was so much to cover that I didn't even have a chance to read them. Huh? Fifteen, yes. You'd like to hear it? You have it?
I'm not sure if I understand it properly.
Okay. This is to the verse, my dear Priyavrata, according to our association with different modes of material nature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives us our specific bodies and the happiness and distress we achieve. One must therefore remain situated as he is and be conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes with which to see. Srila Sridhar Swami says, in this verse he describes our dependence for pleasure. Priyavrata, Anga, must accept of Arud Mahe, that which is given, a Vrishram Stam, to us by the Lord, Isha. As the bull eats whatever the master gives him, and not according to his will, we also should. That is not injustice on the part of the Lord, but because we must accept the body given to us by the Lord, whether the body of a demigod or that of an animal. As a result of our association with the modes of material nature, we are like blind people led by one who can see to the shade or the sun. Vishwanath. Vishwanath is the one probably you are interested in. There's some interesting points in it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse describes our dependence in enjoying the fruits of our karma. Priyavrata, we must accept only what is given to us by the Lord, whether it is happiness or distress. To show that there is no injustice on the part of the Lord, he said, guna karma sangat, because of our attachment to activities caused by the modes. The master takes care of all the bulls because they are his. Although the bulls may be equal, all are his bulls, the master treats them differently according to the quality of their work. He may place some of them in a fine house and give them milk and rice to eat, and others he may place outside exposed to the cold and heat, where there is mud, etc., and give them dried chickpeas or ears of corn or tastes of straw to eat. He may even beat them angrily with a stick. We must bear the consequence of everything we do. Whatever fruit the master has given the bulls, whether auspicious or inauspicious, they must accept, as he has given it according to their good or bad qualities. They should have faith that there is no fault with the master. To compare this to the Lord, he gives the analogy of a blind man being led by a person who can see. The seeing person may take the blind people through a cool path or a hot path. Sometimes, seeing that the cool path may be full of thorns, he may lead them on the hot path. Do the blind people blame him? No, they trust he is a well-wisher and they praise him. Is that according to your understanding as well? Okay, we should stop because it's late. I don't want to keep having...
One simple question.
Yeah.
Just to clarify a little bit the situation of Priyavrata and Uddhanapada. Both of them rule the world.
Yes.
And Priyavrata is the elder son?
Yes.
Okay. Because he says both in Shloka and the purport of 4.31.57, that Priyavrata is the second son of Sangurman. So in the sense that he's the second one to be described, but not
yes.
In age.
And he was the elder son.
And who ruled first?
Uttanapad. Because Priyavrata didn't want to get entangled in ruling or being the king. So they let him go away.
So what happened that made him have to assume later?
That after the Pratetas, there was no... Daksha had gone to perform austerities and there was no one suitable to be the king. And he was in the royal lineage, so he had the proper abilities to do it. And Manu didn't want to have to rule again.
So he was not so young. It seemed that he was young, but not so young.
He was very old, actually. Even though he's called Rajaputra, which even Jiva Goswami says he was still youthful. But he wasn't young. He was old.
Okay.
many, many, many years.
Oh.
Huh?
He lives a long life.
Very long life.
So it's like the analogy given that, that sometimes the farmer treats the bulls differently according to the different levels of work. Between the bulls that are unfit to work, they're put out of the bowl, they're given chickpeas, this, that, the other. The bulls that are proving themselves very good, then the farmer gives them this very special accommodation, special food. So in the same way, a devotee should consider that there's no question of envy on another devotee in a position like that. Krishna's empowered that particular devotee to do what they're doing. And I can't do their duty, but like Bhagavad Gita says that one should accept one's own duty, even if it's imperfectly done, then try to perform somebody else's work. So there's a question of satisfaction. Otherwise, like some devotees, they increase their service. Well, I will, in order to serve this approach master or the movement better, then I will push myself. I will do this in order to do more service for my spiritual master. And then Krishna will, how do you know when it's prayas and when it's, you know, well, I'm not doing it because I'm lazy. Another devotee, when another devotee does it, it's within his capacity. Another devotee does it, it's laziness. Or another devotee does it, it's prayas, it's over endeavor. So how do one know?
Spiritual master. Spiritual master tells us what to do. We have to have devotees and superior people who we trust, their discretion, who know us well, who can advise us how we should engage properly according to our capacity and our nature. But it's not only that the bulls who really work hard and succeed, he gives them good food, and the bulls who that's not the, it didn't seem to me the meaning of what was going on. The meaning was that according to how we've worked in the past, we get a certain amount of happiness and distress in this life, in a particular body, one type of body or another. So someone has a body where there's lots of suffering, and another body seems to attract so much pleasure. So this is Krishna just giving us the fruit of our work. Yes, well, that's what seems to be said. It's not
necessarily in this life.
Yes, and it's not that it's not Krishna being kind to someone and cruel to another. It's everyone is receiving the fruit of their work. That's the point. That's the point that's being made. The people are receiving the fruit of their work, and they enjoy and suffer, and according to what they've done previously.
The Lord is
He's neutral.
Granting the fruit as an aloof way.
Yes.
We're getting what we deserve. We can't complain about it. Right.
We do, but we shouldn't. We can't, but we do anyway. At least, but we shouldn't, because we're doing better than we deserve, perhaps. That's my understanding. He wasn't speaking of it from a devotional, from that point of view. He was talking about from the point of view of karma.
And from a platform of, one question you always get all the time is when you talk about engaging in devotional service for dharmika, svabhavika, according to one's nature, one's talent, and one's mood. And devotees always ask, how do you ascertain that? And then they say, well,
one should not prescribe for oneself.
Means your spiritual masters, your devotees.
Yeah, you need everyone needs friends they can talk to and explain their situation to, and who are trusted.
But at the same time, there is that need to increase to advance to the next level. So there must be a push to increase one's devotional service.
But it's not always in quantity.
Yeah.
It seems to me just by continuing, there is an automatic pressure to increase. Just by continuing. That's the most important thing, to continue.
That means the spiritual strength of the devotee enables him to be steady at it. continue.
Yes, and then we get Krishna helps us, gives us direction. He lets us know that we have to improve certain things. He lets us know where our point of surrender is, where we have to surrender, what our service is, what our service is. Being a devotee means having service, and that's what we have to surrender to. So one person's service may be obviously doing one thing, another person's service may be doing another thing. We should surrender to our service, Sriyan Swadharma Vigunat, as you were saying. And we shouldn't do the service of another. And we should do that with devotion and try to please Krishna with it. But the point is of service for the devotee. At least that's the way I think of it. We should think, what is my service? I'm a servant of Guru, Vaishnavas, Krishna. What is my service? And we have to surrender deeply into our service, depending upon Him doing our work. There's always two fingers worth for advancing. There is our endeavor, and then there is mercy. So we have to know what our endeavor has to be, as you're pointing out, and then we can depend on Krishna and expect His mercy. And accept whatever happens as His mercy. Last question.
You mentioned in the beginning that Maharaj Devata was a purebred Kshatriya, and he was only fit to take up the role of ruler because he came down in the line of Dhruva. Wasn't Dhruva a descendant of Uttanaka? So, in other words,
oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Yes, yes, you're correct. I'm from Swayabhuvamanu, more correctly. Yes, you're correct. But all the rulers from in the line of Uttanabad were in the line of Dhruva. And Narada Muni decided to save all the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. So that was in the previous Keta. Yes, you're correct. Thank you. Save, deliver. Because he was so fond of Dhruva Maharaj. So anyone who was a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, he was automatically attracted the mercy of Narada Muni. Okay, thank you very much. So I'm out of commentary, so tomorrow's class will be regular length, Krishna willing. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopal Bhaktivedanta ki jai.